It was the pinnacle of our work. And honestly, I'm surprised that like Steven Spielberg didn't reach out after that.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Our Path Podcast. We're so glad you could join us here today. And we're happy to announce that we have a special guest on our show today, Dan May. Dan?
Welcome.
Oh, welcome. Hello. In. Thank you for bringing me here today.
Oh, we can't break tradition. Hang on. I'm Dean.
Tony?
Drew?
Dan.
Yeah. Let's go.
All righty. Tell us what you got going on. Tell us what's new. Tell us where you're going, where you've been. Anything you got, let's talk about
on the table.
I told Dean and Drew, and I walked in, I've listened to every episode so far. So it's pretty cool to be here.
You're meeting your idols.
You know, they say never meet your heroes in real life, and I agree with that now.
So. I'm sure you do.
You know, Dean, I always say we know who we're bringing to the top, so welcome, Dan, to the podcast.
Yeah, you're going to be the fourth seat in the Lamborghini.
Ooh.
That's right. We're going to buy a Lamborghini and make it a limo. A limo-ghini.
A limo-ghini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that.
Get pumped.
Now, I know you had Rebecca on here with the Chick-fil-A and the face of Dr. Squatch.
Yeah,
right?
Mr. James Schrader.
James Schrader.
Sweet guy.
I can't promise I'll be anything like that because they're obviously very
Dan's got the
established.
Hair down. He's got the hair.
I have the hair. Yeah, that's probably the only thing hair. I have going for me right now.
Dan, make sure when you're talking, you just stay close to the mic.
Stay close?
Hey, yeah.
Dan's, kinda like Dan's a radio personnel, okay?
Yes.
He knows what's up.
Yes.
Yeah,
I do a sports radio
Dan,
show.
Quote the radio, May.
But I support the radio.
Okay.
I would say I'm a big supporter of it. Because everyone does like Bluetooth nowadays, right, in their car.
Yeah.
Or like Apple Music.
Unless you're me,
I turn the radio on. I mean, the radio is classic. It's old school. I like
it. Yeah, so you run a radio show, all right?
Yeah, so I co-host an NFL talk show called The Blitz.
Nice.
Blitz.
It's very fun. Yes.
Sounds like a football thing.
It is. How could you tell?
It just sounds like one of those sportier terms that people who are familiar with sports would sometimes talk about in reference to sports.
Yes.
Or the Brownie Blitz ice cream from Wegmans.
Oh, that's a good connection there. That's like 500 IQ, big brain. Thank you. Yeah. I like that.
Have you ever heard that?
We would talk about mainly football. So the Buffalo Bills, different moves happening around the league. It's fun. You know, when people call in, we discuss, we talk.
Oh, so you're like on an actual, like, what is it, FM, AM?
It's FM, yep, 91.3 FM. So I mean, you can hear it like across Erie County.
Oh, sweet. So awesome. I can go home to my alarm clock and I can go to 91.3 and wake up to Dan May.
Well, no. So
We all wish.
We do Thursdays 1 to 2. So like any other time, you'll just hear whatever music, probably.
Oh.
Thursdays 1 to 2, 91.3?
Yes. Thursdays 1 to 2, 91.3 FM, WBNY.
Now, when it comes to that, do you see like ratings and stuff? Do you see like how many people are tuning in? Or
we're not subscribed to that system. So when you talk for radio, right, there is a system you can buy into that you can see how many people are listening in at one time. Now we're a public college. We can't afford that. So we can't see that. But we get call-ins, you know what I mean? Like, it's still fun. So
that's cool.
I don't really do it for, the fame or seeing how many people listen. I just do it because I like talking about sports.
Do you ever get any, like, interesting call-ins? You know, like, off the cuff, left field, something that shouldn't be called in?
Well, so, there's this thing called the dump button, right? So when you're talking live, because it's live on air, and you can't swear on air. So if someone does swear, this is a huge button you have to hit, and it dumps the last 10 seconds of audio. If a caller calls in, I just want an old guy calling one time. He's just swearing like a sailor.
So,
I hung up on him, but I, you use a dump on. One time I had this girl call in. She goes, "Hi, can you tell me what sports is?" And I was like, "Okay, I don't know."
Yeah,
I mean, like,
you can hear Mackenzie
crazy
in the back, like laughing.
Can you tell me
what a sport is?
Yeah,
we had a prank call at Wegmans the one day. We had a prank call at Wegmans the one day, and they were talking about how they had an accident in the bathroom. But like for the first, I would say, 2 minutes of that call, you can't tell whether it's a prank or not, and you have to take it seriously because
if
you dunk on this person and it's actually some person who's got like a disability or something,
you can get in big trouble.
Yeah, you could be in big trouble. So I'm sitting there playing along with it, and then you can start to hear as the joke goes on, you can start to hear them starting to break character and all that.
Yep.
And then I don't know, I said something like, "You guys are so unfunny, it makes me sick," and then I hung up or something. I don't know. I said something mean like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, prank callers are weird.
Especially at night when I close, because I close the front end till 11 p.m. And when the service desk leaves at 9, you forward the phone to the front end coordinator, as you know. And I'll get prank calls all the time.
Yeah.
And you, like you said, you have to treat them as real. And then you can finally figure out that, okay, they're fake and you can hang up and,
So is this radio, because I know for this podcast, this podcast is a platform for us to build an audience. We can take other places, like such as a clothing brand or, public seminars or whatever it is that we want to do in the future. So for you and this radio show, what are you hoping to aim for? Because you're not doing it for no reason.
No, I'm just, you know, honestly, I don't have any, I guess, big goal with it. Like, I don't plan going anywhere with it. I just want to enjoy my time at college, and I like talking about sports, so I thought that would be a good way to incorporate, you know, what I'm doing at college, what just I love
something to look
doing.
Forward to.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's great for my future job, too. You know, it's already on my resume.
Nice. So
great for your future job, Dan. What do you think
yes,
about?
Yes, okay. Where, well, there you where go. Are Throw you it out now? There.
I mean, let's hear about it. How did the whole college thing happen?
Yeah, so
where are we going with it?
I guess, you know, go back to high school. I was class president. I love talking to people. I love, you know, sports, obviously. So, you know, a teacher just one day, they're like, hey, Dan, I think you'd be really good at public relations. And I go, what's that? And they go, you know, just, you know, kind of talk to people. So they obviously they had no idea what it was either. So I Buff State is a very good communication school. And like I guess I'm okay at science and math, but I don't want a career in there. I mean, that's kind of lame.
Whoa.
Sorry,
all you physics nerds.
Sorry, all you guys out
heard
there.
Heard it from Dan.
So I declared as a major public relations at Buff State. Basically, what I'll be doing hopefully in the future is I'll be working for like a sports company or agency, and I'll be forming connections with the agency to different media sources and publicizing events they do, and all stuff like that. So
nice.
Branding a company, making it look good.
Nice.
Attracting customers. And I mean, this summer I'll be doing that. I got an internship actually at the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Really?
So that's down in Canton, Ohio. Yes. Very
excited.
You're
going there. That's a sweet place to go, dude.
It is. I'm shocked I got it. They had like 1,500 applicants.
Really?
How many people actually got accepted?
For my department, they had two.
Wow.
Two communication interns.
Man, congrats. Man,
thank you. It was fun. Dog. Yeah, it was like a 4-stage process. It was really intense. It was funny because the way they told me I got the job, because they knew I worked at Wegmans.
Okay.
And they called me and they go, because they don't have Wegmans down there in Canton. So they go, hey, Dan, we're looking for someone that can bring that Wegmans joy to Canton, Ohio. And I go, well, look, I'm the guy
plug.
For that. Yeah.
You found him.
Right.
He's actually the guy right next to me.
Yeah.
But you know what? It kind of ties into what we were talking about for not even just last episode, but you get a little snippet of it in every single episode we do of taking risks. You know, could have looked at it like, oh, there's 1,500 people applying. Why would I bother? But you didn't, which is important.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have an internship at the Hall of Fame. That's pretty sweet, dude.
Pretty
cool.
I'm excited. I mean, because when you go on the website and you first apply it, you know, it says two openings and it says, you know, beware a large amount of applicants. And that right there is probably the first stage, honestly, because there's different stages of applying.
Right.
The first stage is that right there, saying we get a lot of applicants. That scares away people right off the bat. They don't want to waste their time. You know what I mean? But I took a shot and, you know, here I am now. You know,
that's sweet, man.
5 months later, and it'll be cool. I'll get to meet a bunch of Hall of Famers, work with them,
and
I'll get
to meet
Journey,
the band. Who are in the industry.
Oh, really?
Journey's performing.
Little action with Steve Perry, huh?
Yes. There
nice.
You go. Get the picture with
Sweet.
Mr. Perry himself.
Yeah, so you get to meet people who are already in the industry, too.
Yes. No, and that's huge. Especially
you can make connections with maybe Stephen A. Smith pulls up.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Well, in public relations and communications and just in general, though, making connections is huge. Like,
right.
that's paramount. I mean, like, it's very rare that you can have your dream job just come along and fall in your lap. More than likely, someone you met earlier in your field is going to like reach out to you and say, hey, I think you'll be good for this job.
Yeah.
That's how you get a job in that field.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So are they paying for you down there, Dan? I mean,
yeah. So
they
give me a living stipend. So I'll be living at a local college. It's like right next to the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
So I'll live there and I get a nice little living stipend. So I'm not losing money.
Right.
In the ordeal. Yes.
So that in and of itself is a risk because you're going away to another state to live, you know.
Yes.
I mean,
this
it's
is my
for
first time
job.
Away from my family, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. This will be my first time like away for that long.
You know what else is kind of cool too is that you're doing something a lot of people are afraid to do and you're changing your environment, which is something I think everybody should do. I think everybody at some point in their life should just go on a vacation, just a random one or a spontaneous one, should go live somewhere else for a little bit, switch states, you know, obviously financially if it's available to you. But I think switching your environment like that, it forces you to do a lot of growing and getting to know yourself, and it's so important.
Absolutely agree. That's like the time I went to Texas. I would consider that to be a spontaneous thing. And I know I've brought it up in the past, but seeing a different way of life, because Texas is like a 360 compared to what's going on up here. You're on the opposite side of the United States for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
It's a completely different walk of life. It will definitely change your mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to
get
out there and take that risk and be able to see a different environment like you're going to be able to do, Dan?
Oh,
that's so important.
Wait. So that was kind of, I guess me, beginning of March, actually, I just drove to Indianapolis, NFL Combine.
Wow.
I had that there, and I went as a journalist for
Buff
State.
I saw that.
Yes,
I
you
saw
actually,
that. You were the guys, the bench press thing, right?
Yeah. No, it was a blast. So I write for the school newspaper as well. I'm a sports editor. So they actually, it wasn't even through them. I just applied for media credentials, and I got them. So I went to the NFL Combine.
Nice.
A bunch of cool people. Met some head coaches, and it was kind of out of the blue, though. Like you said, it was a risk. It was, you know, it was fun. It paid off.
Yeah.
I met so many people.
Yeah, and it's something I've really thought about recently is just changing your environment. It does so much for you. Like, if you, especially if you feel like you're in a bad, not even if you want to grow, but if you're in a bad spot, you know, maybe you just went through like a hard relationship or something, and you just can't stop thinking about it. You go on like a random vacation or just take a trip by yourself for a little bit and just take that spontaneous ride. It really does a lot for you.
Yes.
It seriously does. So that's good for you, man. Good for you for sure.
Yeah. A lot to look forward to. So I'm excited.
Yeah. No doubt. So, when you become, or like you want to become a reporter or whatever, where would you ideally want to go? Like ESPN?
My dream has always been to work with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Joshy, are we going to the bowl this year?
Yeah, right. Yes, we have to. I mean, now I'm a typical Bills fan because we always say that. You know, we go, this is our year.
Yeah.
And then it's never our year.
I mean, but maybe if we break a few more tables this year, we might get a little closer.
We're going to the bowl this year. Joshy's taking us, no doubt.
Yes, Mr. Allen. I would love it.
A little bit of luck.
I mean, working for them, that'd be huge. I would love that.
Right.
I got to see if that's what I want to do, though. Because, you know, the Bills and sports, that's a huge hobby of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just best to leave hobbies as just hobbies.
Absolutely.
If you love something and you try to make it your career, like, you know, 5 days a week, maybe you won't love it as much anymore. It'll take a joy out of it. Because if I'm working football 24/7, am I going to lose like my joy for it? Because that's kind of like the escape from troubles now. You know, you sit back, you watch a game of football.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that kind of, you know, de-stresses me.
True.
So if I incorporate stress of working into that, I don't know. It's a lot to think about.
Yeah, I've been there before because I was thinking about it when I was going around looking at colleges. And I was thinking, you know, I really like to watch movies. Like, that was my thing.
Yeah.
And it still is. I just really do enjoy watching movies and watching films and going to, you know, the movie theater and everything. And I was like, well, is this like a hobby to get into film? Or is it just, you know, is it just a hobby? Or is it something I can make a career out of? Because I was thinking about going to be a film director.
Tony the film director.
Yeah, I know. You can't even see it. But, and then I stepped back a little bit and was like, okay, I think this is probably more of a hobby right now.
Yes.
Because when I too were at UB for their film directory thing, it was like, this ain't it, chief.
No, this ain't it.
I mean, not to say that I really felt it at Buff State.
I was going
to
say, so you felt it at Buff State.
No, but the point was that I didn't feel the film directing thing. So I know where you're coming from on that.
The film industry is a nasty industry.
Absolutely.
It's almost like the meat industry back in the industrial days, right?
Yeah.
Like
film industry's gross.
You have the sausage, Sinclair, right? I read that book, actually.
I did a book report on that, got 104 on
it. Did you actually read the book, though, Drew?
I did audiobook.
I know.
So I read it and I didn't. It depends on, I guess, how you look
at it. Depends on your definition.
Yeah.
But continue.
Yeah. So, like, it's kind of like you have the sausage and that's a finished product and it tastes good, right?
Sure.
But you don't want to know how it's made.
No.
Right? Because that kind of ruins it. So, like, it's like with the movie, you like seeing it on the big screen, but you don't really want to see how it's made. Like, over the summer, I was an extra in a movie that came to Buffalo.
And you were the German guys, right?
I was a dead Nazi.
Nice.
Yes.
A dead Nazi?
I was a dead Nazi.
Nice.
And never play a dead guy as an extra because you lay there all day. That's all you do.
Really?
I like laid there and like, I almost threw up. It was awful.
Were you out in the heat?
No, like we were in like Buffalo Filmworks.
Okay.
So it was like a huge like stadium kind of, like a big warehouse. But I mean, it's hot in there. And the setting was like a bunker.
Did you have to wear like a wool uniform?
Yeah, I'll show you pictures after. I had to wear they had like authentic uniforms. So, you know, blonde hair, you know, blue eye guy wearing a Nazi uniform.
Yeah.
It was a little weird. I felt kind of evil doing it. But I was just like laying there, you know, dirt all over me, and I was supposed to be dead. It wasn't a fun time.
So they would never have accepted me then, right?
Probably not.
Yeah.
They wanted to cut my hair, actually.
Really?
Really?
The makeup department, like, they're like, guys, we can't film with this. Like, no soldier had long hair.
So how do they
And I go, you know, I can either leave right now or I can keep the hair. And so they let me keep the hair. They put it on like a bun.
Nice.
Only time I ever wore a man bun in my life.
How'd it feel?
They should have just like put a hat on you or something.
Well, and so they did that too. They put it up in the man bun and they put like a German hat, like army hat on me.
Okay. Right. I was going to say that would make sense.
And that hurt to get on.
Did it really?
Yes. It was overall, it was a very unpleasant experience.
Did you get paid?
I did. It was like probably 5 hours of work and I got like $300.
That's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
Nice.
It wasn't bad at all. And like, in a way, it was kind of cool. The experience was cool. I would never do it again.
Right.
So now you know what not to do, though.
Yes.
That's important.
Actually, just kind of like a side note on that, if you wanted to go to like LA, there's literally movies being filmed all the time. If you were to make $300 a day, just, you know, you could
be you
could just be a beach bum, man.
Well, and
make
the cool thing
bucks
is
a day, hang out.
Yeah.
And once you, so it's called SAG eligibility, Screen Actors Guild. So once you appear in a certain amount of movies, like for so many days, you get like paid way more.
Really?
So I did it only for one day. If I did it 3 days, like my pay would get tripled.
Really?
And then, yeah. And it's cool. Like you actually, I found this out, you can't even have any speaking roles in the movie until you have like 3 days of non-speaking acting.
Okay.
There's like so much behind it, but irrelevant.
Huh.
But yeah, no, it is a lot goes into it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Acting was never something I was good at. I did have to act one time, and we were doing like, we had to act out a book. This was eighth grade. It was some.
This is action. Already a great lineup for a beautiful story.
Middle school.
Well, actually, it's not
middle school in itself.
It's not as monumental of a story as it might sound, but we were in eighth grade and we were reading some book actually about World War II. I was playing, I don't even know who, I was like the main character. I don't know how I landed the role. I don't know, but I had to like read lines from a book. And everybody was like, yo, good job. You actually killed it out there. I was like, thanks. So apparently I really nailed the lines. But
really?
Apparently.
I remember Dean and I filmed, this is also in eighth grade, actually. Now that I think about it, Dean and I filmed a bullying movie. It was for health class. We had to film.
Yeah. I had the same project.
Yeah, you could either like, I think, write a book about it, like a children's book.
Who would do that in their right mind?
I don't know. Or you could film a video. And producer Brandon, he's like our film guy. So we'll go out and we'll film things. And at that point, it was the pinnacle of our work. The bullying movie is still out there. And if you come across it, God bless you.
It's bad. Is it on YouTube?
What's that? It's not on YouTube.
So how would we find it?
Yeah, I think Brandon's got it on file.
Producer Brandon. But like, I mean, I'm a chubby little eighth grade kid. Same with Dean.
Oh, yeah.
Our voices are cracky and high. Like, and it's freaking 10 minutes long. Dude.
It's a lot to get through. There's a lot to unpack.
It was the pinnacle of our work. And honestly, I'm surprised that like Steven Spielberg didn't reach out after that.
But really, you know what? Props to us for having the balls to present that.
And people ate it
up.
Yeah,
good for you.
People loved it.
Props. Because that was, I mean, while we thought it was the pinnacle of our work, I mean, I guess when you're in middle school, everybody's cringy. So it's like,
oh, absolutely. Everybody's even the popular people.
Everybody's just so cringy. So nobody recognizes it. Like, there's actually some kids who are so cringy, everybody else recognizes it, but that's a rare breed.
Oh, that's special cringe.
Especially in, like, middle school.
Oh, yeah, middle school. Yeah. But even, like, I've gone back to high school events, like the DePue game or whatever, and seniors in high school, like, I remember when we were seniors, you felt so old, but going back, even, like, 2 years removed, you look at these kids, and it's like, oh, they look so young.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
It's like, these kids are 17, 18.
Yeah, I had the same thought.
It's crazy, you know?
Kind of thinking on that same time frame, a little off topic, that's actually when we met Dan, was 2020.
Yeah, I guess that's a great story to share, how we actually met each other.
Yeah, so we met by mutual friends. So the one day, you know, we're hanging out, and we're like, yeah, you know, Chip, our buddy Chip, like, you want to go to hang out in the pool or something? He's like, yeah, our family friend, cousin, whoever, Dan's coming over. We're like, who's Dan? So Dan just pulls up.
Dan was new lore at the
and
time.
We just accepted him. So we're all sitting.
I was one of the guys.
Yeah. I remember. It was a very like.
I did have the hair back then.
Yeah.
It was like a night where it was kind of like cloudy and sunny at the same time. The sky was like pink and orange and blue.
Yes.
And we were just out there talking. And then Dan muttered the word Wegmans.
And like, after that, it took off.
Oh my gosh.
And by that point, we were best friends.
Yes.
Dean and I, Matt pawing on.
Our ears perked. We're like, what did you just say?
What? Wegmans?
Wegmans, what did you just say? And from that point on, great friends. We kept in touch. We hung out in the pool all night, but
that was fun.
It was 2 years ago. That was like right when COVID hit.
Yeah. Then here we are seeing each other again. We haven't missed a beat.
No.
Just, like, picked up right where we left off.
No, yeah. Exactly. Just tell more Wegmans stories. Good stuff.
Yes. We kept in touch through like Instagram and stuff.
Yes.
But, like,
we
haven't hung out since then. So it's good to see you again.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
No doubt.
Having Dan in the room is a blessing.
Oh, thank you so much, Tony.
You're so welcome. I remember the first time I met you, and you knocked me off my feet.
Yeah?
No.
No.
Oh.
Yeah, but I remember we were chilling out with Tony. He's like, yeah, I got a friend who's got a radio show. Maybe it'd be cool to try and get on that and see if we can promote our podcast a little bit and get to know what the radio life's like. Oh, yeah, who is he? He's like, Dan May. I was like, We know Dan May. That's so cool. I didn't realize that he actually had a radio show, and we didn't talk about what it was about necessarily, but we were just talking about how cool you actually have a radio show. Like, you can go around and say, yeah, I'm a radio host.
I can't.
It doesn't matter that you only do it an hour once a week, but, you know, it's same with us. We can, Jordan, I can go around and say, yeah, we're podcasters. We do podcasts. Yep.
Not Tony, though.
Not Tony. Tony doesn't count.
Tony can't go around and say it.
Yeah.
Am I even real? I don't know.
Wake up.
But it's the same thing with real estate as well. Like, Drew and I can go around and say, yeah, we're real estate agents. It doesn't matter that we've only been in the business a couple months. You know, you're a real estate agent. So, you know, you got to own it.
And at 19, no less, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I'm a radio host at 19.
There you go.
It's pretty cool.
I mean, that is something to say, though, Dan.
Yeah.
It's probably more than 99% of, you know, college students could say.
Yeah.
You can really say they're a radio host. I mean,
yeah. I mean, college is only as much as you make of it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know what I mean? You're actually doing something there instead of just going home doing your homework.
Yeah. Like, a lot of kids just, you know, go to college. Like you said in your previous podcast, like, college is just expected. Like, it's the next expected step.
Yeah.
A lot of people, like, you know, I think definitely they should promote trade school more. You know, there's not really a lot of people going. I have no friends that are going to trade school. No one's even considered it.
I know a couple, but it's kind of rare. And you know what's sad? It's
a few in between.
Yeah, is that trade school almost has that thing where it's looked down on, like, only the stupid kids
go to trade
school.
Yeah, it's like only stupid kids go there.
But it's not true, because those stupid kids make more than you make.
Yeah.
A lot
of them. Not all the time, but, you know.
They go there for, 2 years, and they make, like, 70 grand off the bat?
Depending on the job, yeah. Certain ones pay better, though.
Yeah, I mean, our one buddy's going there. He's becoming a welder. He's getting a six-figure job right out of school.
See, that's insane.
And how much debt does he have? Almost none.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And the thing is, like, a lot of people don't think about it. You know, you go to college, you're like, oh, I'm going to be a doctor, make 400 grand a year. But you're also 400 grand in debt.
Yeah.
After 13 years of school.
Exactly. Right. So, like, you're making that money, but you're also kind of like, nah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, and at that point, you got to just make the most.
Bus State is just luckily very affordable, at least for me, and I probably same for you. I mean, I don't even, like, I don't pay much. I mean, I like I said, I'm profiting off college right now with everything I do there.
So do you feel that, like, you were forced to go to college in any way? Or
no,
you feel like
well, my brother and sister, I have an older brother and an older sister. They both went to college, but I didn't feel like that pressured me anyway.
I mean, did your parents, like, say, you know, you have to do this?
No. I'm very blessed with that. My parents have been, like, totally, you know, accepting of whatever I want to do.
Really?
Yeah, no matter what it is, they've always just supported it. Like, not strict, really. I mean, like, they'll guide me along and help me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, like, once I kind of hit 18, it's like, okay, I'm going to go to Evan's house. Like, okay, love you. Instead of before, I was like, hey, can I go somewhere? You know what I mean? Like, just, they kind of let me live, and if I make a mistake, they'll, you know, help me with it, and you kind of learn from it.
Sure. Right.
Yeah, but. Yep.
That's kind of hard. Dean and I are bust the same thing. Our parents are very supportive, whatever we wanted to do. It's like, on a whim, we've talked about on the podcast before, like, yeah, we're not going to college. We're like, okay.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, yeah, we'll figure it out, but we're just not going to go.
Like, yeah.
And our parents knew that we were going to figure it out, too. They had that trust in us. They're like, okay, they're not going to sit around and be bums. They'll figure something out.
Yeah.
It took time, obviously, but we're 18. You know, it's not expected to be right off the bat.
Shouldn't have to really make that decision right away anyway.
Well, actually, when we were out of school, Drew and I were 17, and we were still 6 months away from being 18. Yeah, we graduated at 17.
Wow. So I graduated at 18.
You're telling me I got to know what I want to do at the age of 17? You're kidding.
Well, it's funny. I heard a thing saying that when you're a senior in high school, you have to ask to go to the bathroom, but then they expect you to know what you want to do for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's like, what?
Kind of. I don't know. Well, I don't even know how you would describe that, but it's ridiculous is what it is.
You got to sign a hall pass to, like, go get a binder from my locker, but then,
you're
going to become a doctor. I'm like,
yeah, that's the best part. I remember when I was in high school, I had a bloody nose. It was literally dripping on the desk. I started shoving tissues up to it. I go to the teacher, I go, can I go to the nurse? Did you fill out a pass?
It's kind of an emergency.
I'm like, okay. So I go, I fill out my pass or whatever, and I bring it to him. I'm like, okay, can you sign it? He's like, what'd you do this for? I go, you just told me to fill out a pass. No, just go. Okay.
Also, what are you majoring in next year?
Yeah.
I mean,
really.
At the same time that I have to fill out a pass to go. I mean, you really don't need to go to the nurse in the grand scheme of everything, but at the same time.
I mean, you just want to get blood all over.
Yeah, it's like the class is looking at you like you got blood on your shirt, you got blood on the desk. You're like, okay, I should probably leave. This is probably not a good look. But at the same time, I should also... Well, I have to ask to go take care of a bloody nose. I should also make, you know, $200,000 debt decisions or whatever it is. You know, I mean, if you're in that position.
That doesn't make sense, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's college is a great idea if you know what you want to do and you have an investment there. But if you don't plan on really doing much of college and you don't really know what you want to do, why are you there?
Yeah.
What are you there?
Dan, I mean, you seem to be really getting something out of it, though.
No, I'm thankful for that. Yeah, I definitely am. It's kind of like the same way in high school. I mean, like I said, it's only going to be what you want it to be. So you have to put in the work. I mean, I'm involved in Buff State. I know you know that, Tony.
I don't know.
I'm in like a few clubs there. So I'm just trying to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's the most you can do. Because like college is still college, but you might as well make it something worth it, you know?
No, exactly.
You're paying all that money.
You can learn in the classroom, but it's also important to learn outside of the classroom too.
Yeah.
Just by, you know, doing stuff. So
experience. Because you don't get a lot of
experience is huge.
You don't get a lot of like in field experience in college. You learn a lot of it, but you don't actually get that experience that you need to be successful in that field. So going out and doing it's super important.
Yeah. So like especially with the communications, what I like to say is that sometimes it benefits you more to skip class than to be in class for communications. Because like if you skip class for something that's going to help you in the future, for communications, absolutely do it.
It's
like,
worth it.
I missed a week of school. Like I said, beginning of March, drove down to Indianapolis for the combine to write stories.
Right.
I mean, that's a career option right there. Mm-hmm. And I gained experience
taking a risk.
Yeah. They taught me about that stuff in class, and then I went out and did it myself.
Right.
So I was thinking, obviously, I'm going to skip class for that.
Yeah, that's what separates the men from the boys right there, Dan.
There you go.
I mean,
like my mom was like, well, I mean, you can go, but you're going to miss a week of school. I go, I don't care. Yeah. I'll be learning more at the combine than I would in the classroom.
Yeah, I'm still learning.
Absolutely.
Just not reading out of a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting more valuable learning, which is actually doing it.
Yeah.
That's cool that you see the difference, Dan, because not a lot of people do. And that's also a big point of being in your major in college is that you want to go out and get that experience. You want to do that because you want to pursue that path and that's interesting to you.
I like that major, yeah.
Right. You want to know more about communications. You want to get the firsthand experience of writing stuff, of whatever it is that you have in that particular interest. But, you know, I feel like you're on one end and I'm over here on the other end. Like they literally send me emails about like what I can do for my economics thing. And I literally just delete them. Like, I know it sounds terrible, but it's really, I think it's a good point to show separation that it can be done. That's my point is you can want to do this. You can, this is for you, you'll know it. And I mean, you're getting the most out of it, Dan, which is cool.
That's really cool, man. It really is. I don't know what I'd be doing if I was in college.
I mean, but you're not though, and that's what you knew you wanted to do.
Yeah, and that's what's important.
Yeah, so
I think about it sometimes though. If I was at college, what would I be there for? Like, what would I be doing?
I'd probably be miserable.
Probably be working on dropping out, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably would have dropped out already. I'm not sure why I would ever go. I was gonna go undecided, which looking back on, I was like, I'm not sure why I even decided to do that. But
all right, Dan. Well, thanks for being on. We appreciate you having you here. And
yeah, absolutely.
Bringing thanks your conversation to the table. It was excellent to hear what you had to say. Love hearing new opinions and different viewpoints. So
yeah.
Cool that you were here, man.
And thanks for tuning into every episode. It really does mean a lot. And for everybody out there who isn't on the fourth mic right now, thank you for tuning into every episode. It really does mean a lot.
Always appreciate your guys' comments, your feedback, anything you can let us know about, help us do better, something you want to hear about, something you want to see change, maybe.
The survey. Fill out the survey.
Absolutely.
If any of that applies, it is still a living thing. It is out there. The link is there. Fill it out. It means a lot. It tells us what we need to hear. It makes us make this broadcast better. So thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys.